He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It is the August the 18th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, chartered financial analyst. We've got a lot to talk about today on the economy front. A lot of individual companies in the news today. Still some earnings reports rolling in. Bad day for tech, good day for energy stocks. So we'll dig into it. The Dow is down 102 right now. It's at 33,877. It hit its 200-day moving average 2 days ago and is now starting to falter. So it does have to get through that level. The NASDAQ is down 32 points at 12,906. Tech stocks had kind of a bad day yesterday, but nothing really big. Cisco reported after hours last night. We'll get into their report here in a bit. The semiconductors have been a little bit weak. The NASDAQ's at 12,903. It hasn't hit its 200-day moving average yet. Now, that's a ceiling right now, okay, a ceiling. Also have the Russell 2000 is flat. The S&P 500 is down 6. The S&P is bumping its head on in the 200-day average. The green on the screen is coming from crude oil, up $2.05 to $90.16. A lot of bullish news out there on oil today. And we've got the 10 years at 2.85%. And Bitcoin's up $28 today. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide virtual money management fee-based only fiduciary firm. And I'm here with one of my fiduciaries, Barry Kite, who's also a chartered financial analyst and a certified financial planner. Boy, Barry, there's a lot to dig into today. You never know. You know, yesterday I was kind of scratching for enough news.
For info? Right.
Yeah, to make a show, you know, enough content. I try to pick only the things that I find to be really interesting and meaningful.
And you want to have too much.
No,
you want to have too much, so at least, you know, if you need to switch over to something else, you've got plenty to choose from.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's better to have too much than not enough. Right. But very seldom is there not enough. Very seldom in today's world, active world. Well, yesterday was kind of a down day. The Dow was down 170. The NASDAQ took it on the chin. It was down 164. Maybe interest rates going up, maybe a little bit of shrinkage in the multiple yesterday in the high PE stocks. I'm seeing ARK Fund starting to falter again. Target missed earnings yesterday. And then, of course, you've got a little bit of technical issues here with the technical analysis, some of these big averages hitting their 200-day moving average. Okay, that's a little bit firmer. Okay, you can break a door down and get through that 50-day moving average. When it comes to the 200-day, you might have to break a wall down to get through that. I mean, it's good support on the way down, but it's also stiff resistance on the way up, and that's kind of where we're at right now. From a technical point of view, the Dow had a five-day winning streak. It ended yesterday. The market has a five-week winning streak. I don't know. This is going to be touch and go. We've got the rest of the day and tomorrow. We had pretty flat retail numbers come in yesterday. I think higher prices. You know, I was shocked. I went to the supermarket last night. And a whole chicken nowadays, $10 raw. You still got to cook it and clean it and all that kind of stuff. $10. I remember $4 or $5. You know, $10.
for the whole chicken.
Whole enchilada.
I wish some eggs would come. If some eggs came with that, it'd be a great deal. Yeah, it'd be a good deal if we had a dozen eggs with it.
Now, the energy stocks, they've got some energy. Yesterday, the market was down. We were up a little bit because of the refiners. They had a really good day. We still own Valero, VLO, and Marathon, MPC. And there's other stocks in that sector, like Phillips 66 and others. That group had a really good day yesterday, and I've got to believe it's probably having a good day today because you had a drop in crude oil, in fact, a huge weekly decline. In U.S. inventories of crude oil and gasoline. That means they got to crank it up to restock, to rebuild those inventories. Crude had a draw of 7.1 million barrels over the last week, and gasoline supplies fell 4.6 million barrels, both much higher than expected. So that demand destruction isn't happening yet. They were starting to price into oil. And the big winners yesterday, there were a lot of oil stocks, too, that did well yesterday. I mentioned ERF, which is Enerplus out of Canada. And then, of course, the refiners. And there are a few refiner ETFs. Maybe CRAK, C-R-A-K, I think that's a refining ETF. And, of course, there's a lot of refining stocks, and we're moving up again today, $2 per barrel on oil today. We have the jobless claims, the weekly jobless claims coming in. It's about average, okay, 250K. And I still think, Barry, I still think there's a labor shortage. I think it's still very difficult to get good quality workers at a lot of like the restaurants and maybe the service industry, the grocery stores and stuff.
The participation rate is historically, historically, I don't know, it's about, it's low. I think it's kind of lowest since the beginning of the 80s, really since, women began entering the workforce much more. Having that low, it's all statistics, right? Having a 3.4 or 3.5 unemployment rate, to be included in the unemployment rate, you have to be looking for a job, number one. So if you have less people participating, right, well, then, it might be easier to get to that, say, 3.4, 3.5 number, where historically full employment's, usually ran around 4%. But having less folks in the workforce, right? Well, then that naturally brings that number down a bit.
Yeah,
so I would agree.
Labor supply is going to be an issue. People are getting by without a job. I mean, that participation rate, those people that aren't participating means they're not working at all. I mean, I don't know. Is there that much federal assistance out there? I don't know what the problem is. I've never really seen a labor shortage.
Parents' basements, I don't know. I don't know how many.
There's something going on.
Yeah.
Okay, so yesterday also the Fed minutes came out. I don't read through those. I don't know about you, but, I just look for the other guys to crunch the numbers and read through them and the highlights, the cliff notes.
The Fed speak.
Yeah, I mean, they're a little worried, and they should be, that the rate hikes could slow the economy more than the plan. They're looking for what you call a soft landing to thread the needle to get inflation down without crushing the economy. But, depending on what part of the economy you work in, I mean, if you're in the real estate part of the economy, you're getting hurt. If you're in the mortgage business, you're getting hurt. If you're in anything having to do with homes and home sales and whatnot, it's hurt pretty bad. And, they're hoping to thread the needle there to not try to disrupt the economy too much with their aggressive rate hikes. But I think maybe those minutes yesterday scared the market a little bit. The Fed realizes that it's not going to be as easy as they thought And, of course, the other side of that equation of a soft landing is a hard landing. You know, I mean, everybody, in San Diego, we had a really steep descent into Lindbergh Field. And if you made a soft landing, the passengers would clap and applaud. Yay! Wipe the sweat from their brow, you know, put away their tranquilizers. But if you had a hard landing, you know, that wasn't so fun. Everybody give the pilot a dirty look, and the stewardess is on the way out. Now, Bed Bath & Beyond, let's check in on that. We'll do that when we come back, but we got a couple others here. I mean, it was kind of fun to watch. It's entertainment. It's better than anything on TV. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show, with the Dow down 84, the NASDAQ down 18, crude oil up about $2 per barrel, and it is the energy stocks that are doing well here today. Okay, here's a new one for you, another meme stock, MindMed. That's got probably one of those, be one of those psychedelic stocks, you know. Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. MindMed is up 71% in the pre-market. Let's see how it's done since the market's opened. You know, I tried to short Bed Bath & Beyond yesterday, but I could not get any shares. There were no shares available. That's a crazy thing. It really is. Okay, MindMed is now up 62%. It's $1.21 per share. It's traded 85 million shares. Oh, my gosh, which is 200 times normal volume. They develop and deploy psychedelic-inspired medicines and therapies to address addiction and mental illness. Okay, well, there's your new one, and let's check in on Bed Bath.
I just like the headline. Yeah, I just like the headline where it says MindMed soars 71% as it appears to be following in Bed Bath and Beyond's footsteps.
Yeah, well, like, kind of weird. I mean, they don't really have anything in common.
Might send you beyond. But
yes,
yeah, that's about it.
Bed Bath and Beyond. That's right, to infinity and beyond, to Beatlemania and beyond. Anyways, Bed Bath & Beyond, it's too bad I didn't get my shares yesterday. It's down $6. It's down 26% today.
Yeah, they had a big hedge fund guy was you know, private equity guys, you know, putting 7.2 million shares, I think, on the market, apparently.
Ouch. 55 million shares traded so far. It's lighting up like a Christmas tree the day before. Look at that thing. Man, it's fun to watch. Okay, it is a little bit of entertainment there just to watch these things. These are the meme stocks. Apparently, there's a group on Reddit, okay, which is social media, and they chat up and they agree to team up and gang up on some stocks that have heavy short interest in them. And they put a few short sellers out of business, a couple of big hedge funds. Talk about inflation, okay? We've talked about yesterday you had the UK double-digit inflation. Here we had just under double-digit. It was 9.6. The PPI was double-digit. Turkey has 80% inflation. I don't know how Erdogan stays in office, but probably through force. They probably don't have a choice, you know. The Turkish lira plunges 1% against the U.S. dollar. They delivered a rate cut. Okay, they're the country that's doing exactly the opposite of what we're doing. So we'll have to see how it works out for them. So far, not so good. Their inflation level is 80%. 80%. Ouch. Okay, yesterday, like I say, it was the oil refiners. That's where the action was. And they're doing well again today. I think it's crack. Let me just see. Nothing to do with
the... Yeah, it should be crack, like the crack spread. You know,
that's what it is. Crack is up 1.3% today. That is the VanEck Oil Refiners Index. Valero is having a... Look at the chart on Valero. That's a beautiful chart. Breaking out through resistance. You know what? It hit its 200-day moving average. It struggled for a couple of days, and then, bam, it burst right through its 200-day. Actually, it's 50-day. It's above its 50-day and its 200-day now. It has a relative strength of 96, and in the Best Stocks Now app, Valero's got to be ranked pretty high after another. It had a big, bold move yesterday. Valero's ranked number 590 out of 6,065. We own Valero, VLO, and it also pays a dividend yield of 3.3% out of San Antonio, Texas. And also Marathon, it's up 2%, 2.6. Beautiful chart. I mean, just a beautiful chart on Marathon. You're not going to find a lot of tech stocks now. They're kind of where these stocks were a few weeks ago. Marathon is another one that we own. Okay, so they're doing very well. A federal judge reinstates pause on federal oil and gas leasing. Okay, well, this Biden wants this. Biden won. President Biden won temporary permission to again pause energy leasing on federal lands and waters. So that is bullish for gasoline. That's bullish for oil. It's bearish for the guy driving one of these F-350 trucks, you know, with the dual wheels on the back and everything, or one of these giant Escalade SUVs. Taking everybody on vacation. It's bearish for them. But, you know, he's been trying to shut down, and he's lost a couple of court battles, or the administration's lost a couple of court battles, especially in the Gulf of Mexico and up to Alaska. So once again, they're pausing leasing on federal lands and waters. So that is bullish for oil, and I think that's one of the reasons oil is up to $2 per share. Okay, we've got a date here, September the 7th. The iPhone 14 will be coming out. Now, I don't know, Barry, I'm pretty happy with my iPhone 13. You know,
I just upgraded not too long ago to the 13. Yeah, and now there's a 14. I'm like, this one will do fine.
Yeah, you know what's amazing to me here? The camera.
Now, yeah, right?
Okay, when I was in high school, my father had a contract with the San Diego Sports Arena, which we live very close to, San Diego. So we got four tickets to every event in the sports arena, and they were good seats. Okay, so I took my 35-millimeter camera back then, and the technology... You know, you couldn't use flash, so we had to, like, do all kinds of tricks to take photographs of the concerts as they're in the dark, you know. But I have some beautiful photographs of most of the rock and roll stars from that era. Anyways, okay, so last week my wife and I went here to the Charleston Coliseum. We saw Daryl Hall and who's the other guy? Todd Rundgren. Daryl Hall lived here for quite a while. He was a resident of South Carolina.
No, I didn't realize that.
And we had very good seats. And I just sat there with my iPhone with no flash. The pictures are gorgeous. I mean, the resolution is beautiful. I'll have to post some, put some in the newsletter this week. But the technology, when you've got a camera that's just... You know, one part of your iPhone. That's just one part of your iPhone, let alone your record collection on there. Pretty amazing. So anyways, the iPhone 14, and Apple had a good day yesterday when the tech stocks didn't. Okay, we'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Crude oil now up $2.22 per barrel. But the Dow down 91. The S&P's down 4. And the NASDAQ is down just 27 right now. So down day in the market except for the energy sector. Okay, Loop Ventures, Gene Munster, he's a Apple fanatic. He pretty much is one of the experts on Apple. He says it has 40% upside potential from here over the next couple of years. Okay, well, that's one man's opinion there, but somebody who follows Apple pretty closely, Canadian Solar. Why do I mention that? They reported earnings last night. The solar stocks are having a good day today, especially Canadian Solar. I had somebody ask me about Canadian Solar in the chat room on Seeking Alpha a couple of weeks ago. I said, it looks good. I said, we own several solar stocks. I'm not really interested in another one. I've owned Canadian Solar in the past, CSIQ. And they had a good earnings report, and the stock's up 19% today. That's a really nice chart, right? Nice move on Canadian Solar, CSIQ. Okay, now here's another one that popped up on my in my screens here today, Woof Speed. Take a look at Woof Speed and what they do. It has something to do with the EV batteries. The symbol is WOLF, the Wolf of Wall Street, W-O-L-F. It is currently up 26.1% as they reported earnings, and they issued guidance that both topped expectations, prompting praise from the analyst community. Let's see here. They are in the semiconductor industry, but autos.
Yeah. And they sell into, they sell into the electric vehicle space, which is a, obviously a big deal. Those people can't get chips, so they actually make chips specifically for that space.
Yes, and EV charging stations, so that's good. They make chips for industrial, solar inverters, high-end medical equipment, EV charging stations. So they have a pretty good diversified product offering. So you take a look at Wolf, W-O-L-F. Oh, it used to be Cree Research. Okay, I remember Cree out of North Carolina.
I was about to tell you they must have had a new marketing person between in October of 2021 when they changed their name from Cree to Wolf Speed.
But you know what? I mean, it's been a good stock over the years. I look back, it was $20, back in 2017. Now it's 107. It's been as high as 142. They've never really been profitable. That's been their big issue because, their chips are a little bit more on the low-tech end. And, they've always kind of lost money, but, the recent...
That P.E. of 789 is a little...
because they only made 6 cents. They're expected to make $1.61 next year, so it's trading at 65 times forward earnings. That's a bit of a problem. But anyways, it's having a good day here today. Wolf Speed. The Eurozone final CPI comes in at 8.9. So that's for the entire Eurozone. Of course, the UK, not part of the Eurozone, they reported double digit. But when you take all the countries in the Eurozone and average them out, their CPI, 8.9%. And it continues to surge higher. But, their biggest issue really is energy. That's a big problem. And food over there with the issues in the Ukraine. Okay, we had another big retailer report today, Kohl's. Hasn't been a very good week. I mean, hit or miss, I guess. Target had a miss. Kohl's has a miss. You had a couple Lowe's and Home Depot did better than expected. Kohl's is down 6.5%. You know, I see Kohl's being a Bed Bath & Beyond someday, you know, just hanging on. But maybe not. I don't know. I hope not. But that just it just seems to be kind of a dying kind of. You know, when they become a place where you can ship and pick up Amazon and return Amazon packages, right?
Right. And it's, yeah, they're just trying to get you through the door at
they're
that point.
They're trying to get you in the bricks and mortar store, and all these bricks and mortar stores continue to struggle against Amazon. You know, so many people that. We gave one of our employees a gift card from Amazon. She says, I got to admit, I'm an Amazon junkie. I think we all came clean and admitted we were all kind of Amazon junkies,
yeah, it's
right?
It's too easy. And, I mean, I find myself going to the store and you know, especially if you're buying a book or something of that nature, check the price and then look it up on Amazon. And it's
yeah.
like, you know, I order it right there and it'll be on the doorstep in the next day or two. So.
Someday, though, I think there's going to be some kind of, you can use Amazon if you meet these criteria. That I don't know. They've got a lot. They wield a lot of power. Okay, this is a scary one to me. Court rules that oil companies must face climate liability lawsuits in states. Okay, instead of the federal government, it's going to go to the states. But, you know, climate liability. So let's just say a hurricane slams Charleston in October and causes billions of dollars in damage. How are you going to prove that it was Chevron's fault?
Chevron
or Exxon's fault.
It. Yeah, that's, I mean, in that case, I would just tell them, hey, well, we're just not going to operate in your state anymore, and then, you know, good luck with, you know, your gasoline and energy issues.
But, you know, I mean, adding that kind of liability, that's enormous.
Yeah, it seems pretty tough to prove, too, right? Like, whose fault was it? I mean,
so they'll do it state by state,
yeah.
And they probably won't get anywhere in South Carolina, you know, with some kind of a lawsuit, I don't think. But I could see, like, you know, New Jersey or New York or something. But anyways, that's kind of that's something new that is being floated around, but they're getting real serious about it. Super tanker rates surged to two-year highs on record U.S. crude oil exports. You know, I talked about this yesterday, Frontline, Euronav, a few others, and there was one of them that reported earnings today. I can't remember which one it was, and I think there is an ETF. I want to say it's SHIP. Let me see if it's SHIP, S-H-I-P. No, that's an individual company, but there is one or two. That our ETFs attract these stocks. Let's just check in on Frontline because it's a pretty good, it's pulling back just a little bit today. But they were hitting two-year highs in the rates of shipping crude oil. Okay, here's a biotech in the news today, PSTV. It's up 70%. They get a funding grant from Texas. I'm not quite sure what they're working on. Nanoliposome. You'll have to look that one up. That thing's up 61%. Estee Lauder reports earnings. You know, that's been a good stock over the years. I would call it a consumer staple. It's breaking out today on a very good earnings. Sociedad Química y Minerales de Chile, which is a big lithium stock. You got a lot of political risk in that stock. It's down 8% today, but, you know, it's been the number one ranked stock in the app for off and on over the last few months. The big mining giant with a lot of exposure to Chile, which now has a leftist guerrilla running the country, and I think Colombia has the same situation. Leftist guerrillas taking over governments in South America. SQM down today. They missed earnings by 25 cents. And, okay, we'll fit in one more here. Here is a maker of drones, Okay, this is the only thing we don't have. I still don't have a drone dropping off my Amazon deliveries in my living room.
I don't think we have a drone stock either. Did
I have in the past.
Didn't we have one? It was, I thought they were out of Israel, maybe.
I've owned AVAV, which is out of Los Angeles, okay. Of all places.
Yeah.
But there's one for you here. Where did it go? They are going to get involved with Amazon and Drone Cooler, KULR. They're developing a drone delivery fleet, KULR. Okay, what's popping and dropping when we come back?
You gotta go where you wanna go. Do what you wanna do.
Back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, where the Dow is now down just 43, and look at that, the NASDAQ just went positive. I'm seeing some action in the chip stocks, the semiconductor stocks. There's a couple of them that are doing real well here today. One that's breaking out catches my eye today, On Semiconductor, which competes with Wolfspeed. They're both in the same, they're going up in sympathy with each other. That's, you know, okay, so in technical analysis, you've got the downtrend, the four. We had that in the overall market from November till about 6-8 weeks ago when things started to level off into a number one, sideways trend. Well, that's a base. The stock is building a base. The index is building a base. It's getting it's going sideways, okay? And then all of a sudden it starts to turn up and break above resistance levels, okay? And that could be, hopefully, the beginning of an uptrend, number two uptrend. Well, I think, just from a logical point of view, the best place to buy a stock, some people like to buy stocks on the way down because they think they're catching, you know, at the bottom. But you don't know it's at the bottom yet, okay? You still have further downside risk catching a falling knife. Now, On Semiconductor, ON, that's a confirmed breakout today. Fresh new breakout. Actually, it broke out about 4 days ago. Then it pulled back a little. And then today, boom, ON. On Semiconductor, which is kind of in the same business as Wolfspeed, you know, a lot of the lower end semiconductors, which, you know, cars are full of semiconductors, boats are full of semiconductors, they're everywhere. They used to say the 5G, the internet highway is paved with semiconductors. That's what gets us from here to there. In a lot of cases, so On, with the relative strength of 94, definitely catches my attention here today. Then in this shipping sector, okay, the hottest one of all, and the area with the biggest problem is Europe. So it would only make sense that, you know, Vessels, UK-based company, TORM, PLC, the symbol is TRMD. They have a fleet of 202 vessels. And they're carriers of refined oil products. Their most recent quarter, their sales were up 69%, which is kind of unheard of for a shipping company. And their earnings were up 155%. Now, I'm not recommending these stocks. I'm just giving my observations here of stuff that is breaking out today. TORM is probably one of the strongest stocks in the market with a relative strength of 99. Okay, now, Barry, you put that up against a Bed Bath & Beyond, for instance, which is a dying franchise. You know, I mean, there's been, I remember linens and things, and I remember a few others along the way.
Well, and just that model is going away. I mean, everything that, there's nothing unique to Bed Bath & Beyond in terms of, except that 20% off coupon that you can bring in.
Yeah, and they're the only survivor in that space, right?
Right, and they're, you know, you think about, you know, just a brick-and-mortar retail, you know, look around and see the, you know, at their location and look around, you know, at the shops also in the, in their, you know, in their space or where, you know, in their retail space. And they're, you know, they're usually you're going to see a lot of empty shops or shops for rent. So, the, you know, model-wise, it just doesn't, you know, it's a lot like GameStop in terms of,
dying.
They were exactly. in a dying industry as well. It kind of goes to show you kind of why we do fundamental analysis and technical analysis and couple those together. If you're just looking at the chart, right? Well, you know, at least in, before today, then Bed Bath & Beyond might catch your eye. But you know, you look on the fundamental side, and it doesn't, you know, just doesn't make sense.
Now, look at a chart of TRMD, okay? And, you know, maybe it's getting overvalued. The earnings are all over the place on these stocks because it ebbs and flows with the rates, which are very crazy. It's not like they stay at one rate for a long time. The rates are all over the place. But right now, they're in TRMD's favor. That stock's breaking out to a new
in a five forward high. Forward PE of 5.1, right? And so, you're from a valuation standpoint, you know, you've got a much lower lower level of risk in terms of downside. So.
Yes. Okay. Now, one more here is a oil and natural gas exploration company. We owned it, and then we went through that big sell-off in the oil stocks and lowered our exposure. But we kept quite a bit of exposure to the oil stocks, but we had to get rid of Murphy Oil. It went from 45 to 26. And when it broke that support level up in the 30s, you know, I had to say goodbye to it. Now it's coming back big time, and it's breaking out today. That's one with very good fundamentals, too. The P.E. ratio is 11. The forward P.E. ratio is like 5 or 6, something like that. And it's breaking out today. Their most recent quarter, their sales were up 100%, double versus the same time last year, and their earnings tripled, up 227%. That's a can slim stock from the Investor's Business Daily lingo.
And they're an explorer, so not, you know, the fact that they don't do refining gives them, you know, makes them even more susceptible to those big moves in oil.
Yeah, they're going to ebb and flow big time with the price of oil. But you know what? That's a good stock. Murphy Oil, M-U-R, is the symbol. Okay, I told you it was going to be a busy show. I had no lack. We had no lack of content here today. You might want to go back and listen again to some of the things that we brought up today. We archive these shows every day at GundersonCapital.com and most of the podcast sites that are out there. Today, I begin the newsletter. You can get 2 free issues at GundersonCapital.com. And if you'd like a little portfolio review or talk to us about how we do things here, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.